The text of our message is Matthew 16:13-28. As we return to the study of the book of Matthew, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, so that we'll never miss any point of teaching or doctrine, or even good examples out of thy word. Matthew 16, verse 13 to 28. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias or Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter." Here the Greek word is Petros. "And upon this rock I will build my church." This rock, referring to himself, is a Greek word, Petra. Petros, Petra. There's a play of words. "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man." Then said Peter unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." The Lord bless the reading of his holy word. As I said, today I'm returned to the book of Matthew, which we have been studying for quite some time. And the title of my message is The Ups and Downs of Peter Following Our Lord. And as Peter has been the spokesman of all the disciples, he is also our spokesman. And here we see our own weaknesses, our ups and downs in the following of our Lord Jesus Christ. This was the third year of Jesus' ministry, and he began to test the qualification of his disciples to see if they knew what they should know. When Jesus asked them, "Whom do men say that I am?" the disciples all gave the same answer. "You are either John the Baptist, or you are Elijah, or Jeremiah. These are the great prophets, or one of the prophets." "Do you say Jesus is a prophet?" I had a friend convert in Johnson's time, and he stood behind Johnson in the picture taking. He was only 12 years old. During the war, quite a few years after Johnson had left Singapore, I went to visit him, and in the course of our conversation, he said, "Jesus is only a man, at most a prophet." And I was really saddened. He is still living today. He is the brother of a dear sister of this church who has gone to be with the Lord. But because he does not believe that Jesus is the Christ, today he is in a very miserable condition. Is there anyone here who does not believe as you should believe? So Jesus asked the second question. "But how about you all? What do you say about me?" I believe all the disciples, they said it with one heart and voice, except Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus. And Peter was the spokesman. "You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the anointed, the specially chosen one, the Son of the living God." Jesus was very happy and commended Peter. "Not that man has taught you this, but it is God. So all of you, every one of you who comes to church week after week, and I ask you why, I hope not to make some business, not to see a friend specially, to see my boyfriend or girlfriend, that's why I come here. I come here because it's a wonderful day, the best day of the week, because I come to worship my God." So Jesus commended Peter. But Jesus knew that in latter days some will make Peter the Pope. And so he said, "You are small Peter, Petros. You are a small rock, but upon this rock, upon Petra, my self, I will build my church. But nonetheless, I gave you certain powers. And whatsoever you bind on earth or loose on earth, it will be done. These are the keys of the kingdom that I give you. But very interesting, if you turn to Matthew chapter 18, verse 18, Jesus says the same thing to all the disciples. So they have the same power. And you come to John chapter 20, verse 23. After Jesus rose again from the dead and he breathed the Holy Spirit on them and said, "Whosoever sins you forgive, they will be forgiven, and whosoever sins you remit, or rather, whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." This is also said to all the apostles. There is no such thing as a pope. The Roman Catholics make Peter the first pope. And when you go to the St. Peter's Church, you see a long line of popes, and Peter is placed at their number one. To prove that Peter himself dismissed such a thought, he said when he attended the Jerusalem Council in the dispute of salvation, whether a man has to be circumcised to be saved. And of course Peter said no. But he came with his friends, and Paul came with his friends, who was the chairman. The chairman was not Peter, the chairman was James. And Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, calls himself, "I am an elder and I speak to you elders." He did not say, "I am the first elder and the Pope." So this is something along the way that we study of Peter's confession of Jesus, and Jesus was very happy and Jesus gave him certain powers, but together with the rest of the apostles. Please take note of this fact. If there is any Roman Catholic brother here today, I hope you will not take offense when you search the scriptures. You will know why we are Protestants. From that time forth, Jesus began to tell his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem and be confronted by the Jewish elders, chief priests, scribes, theologians, and how they will kill him. But though he dies, he will rise again from the dead. Well, Peter heard the first part of Jesus' description, and he got very excited. He felt very sad, and he began to take Jesus. Don't go to Jerusalem, you'll die there. He said this also for himself. If you're a disciple and the master must die, you must also die. A disciple must follow his master through thick and through thin. A disciple cannot do anything that is above the master. Then Jesus said, if any man will come after me, take note, you are following Jesus. Let him deny himself. We have a price to pay to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and take up the cross. To carry your cross means to go to death. All those that were punished with death had to carry their own cross to a place where they will execute, crucifying you. For whosoever will save his life, that is the wonderful principle of Christianity, will lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world, but on your own terms? You must follow Christ and you will have everything. It is a good thing for us to specially celebrate Easter, which is coming very near, beginning with Palm Sunday when he entered Jerusalem riding a donkey. And then Good Friday, the day of his death. Maundy Thursday, the night he was betrayed. And then Easter Sunday, when he rose from the dead. We have our young people, one group that has gone out, and they say you cannot commemorate Christmas or Easter. And they say every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. We agree. But we cannot be preaching resurrection every Sunday. We must go through the whole Bible. And it is by coming to Good Friday service that we realize how much the Lord has done for us and how little we have done for Him. We must also be prepared to die for Him. Well, did this message get into the ears of the apostles? Now I go by church history and tradition. Tradition tells us that all the apostles, the 12 disciples, except Judas, died for our Lord Jesus Christ. One that I know more personally and believe that he died for Christ is Saint Thomas. Because I went to India many times to preach, and many times I meet with the heritage of Thomas. And Thomas went to India in AD 52, according to tradition. He founded 7 churches in the state of Kerala, the southwestern part of India. He was said even to go to China. There is a picture, a painting of him riding on a raft with a bamboo pole and pushing his way to China. And he returned to India, and it was at Madras that he died a martyr's death. In Madras, That is a church built in the 19th century. Earlier churches were built also, but they fell into ruin, and they built this one to commemorate his death, St. Thomas. And so did Peter. He foretold his death, and it was told by the Lord that he would die, and that was his appointment. And it was said that he was crucified upside down. We have the special apostle, Apostle Paul. He was put in the prison to be executed, and he predicted his death also, and how he won the victory at the end. Interestingly, there were two brothers who asked Jesus, "When you are in your glory, we would like one to sit on the left and one on the right." This was the children of Zebedee, John and James. And Jesus said, "That's not for me to give, but are you willing to drink my cup?" That means death. "And be baptized with my baptism." And they readily accepted it, because they were so ambitious in the day of Jesus' rulership to sit on his right and his left. And so James was the first apostle to be beheaded, to be killed by Herod the king, according to Acts chapter 12, verses 2. And John, who wrote Revelation, was the last one to die, according to tradition. He also died a martyr's death. In regard to Peter, he was the spokesman. He was always zealous to speak out for the Lord. And when Jesus was going to be betrayed that night, Peter was so excited and so forward, he spoke to the Lord, "I will die with you, but in his own strength." And Jesus said, "Before the cock will crow twice, you will deny me thrice." And at the word of a little girl, to say that Peter belongs to Jesus from the accent of his Galilean speech, Peter was so afraid. In the hour of test, he denied the Lord. Well, how about us? Especially if you want to be a missionary to Cambodia, one of the conditions unstated, you must go there and be prepared, first of all, to suffer, even to death. If you should be killed because you are witnessing Christ, you must be happy. I thank God when I realized that's the condition of the missionary. I silently accepted it. That's the condition also of a pastor. And I have declared, I said, "Well, I'm willing to go to prison. If they force me to do this, it cannot be helped. But that is a lot of every Christian. If you follow Christ, when there is a persecution, you either stand with Christ or deny him. So we are very happy that as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have accepted the term given to us. If any man want to follow me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. That is one wonderful example of such a man, and he resembled most the Apostle Paul. He went to the very extremes in order to serve the Lord. And he is none other William Burns, the missionary who brought the gospel first to Amoy, to all the Hawkins in 1851 and 1856 to Swatow, of all the churches. He did not marry because he was too busy, and he sent home 1 year's salary, £250, to the English Presbyterian Mission, that you can send one more missionary to come and help out because the need was so great. He had lived among the Chinese. That's how he saved the money. He would sit with anyone who would invite him to eat a bowl of porridge, and with a fish that is very fishy smelling. He gladly lived this sort of a life. And being weak in death, weak in his life before death, he easily succumbed to a cold. There was no SARS at that time. This is a new pestilence that God sends to this world because God is angry. I'm not referring to SARS, please. And so he died in Manchuria at a young age, in his early 50s. In conclusion, here is a little comparison. There is plenty of sudden death, unexpected death in this present war with Iraq. Now the Americans are rich people. Even when they joined the army, they did not expect war. It will be quite a lavish life that they will live. But when the war comes and they are drafted, many of them refuse to die. As is now reflected in the sentiments of the Americans, if it's only a few deaths, Bush will win the next election. But if the casualties are multiplied, and Saddam Hussein has been trying to frighten them, will send you all packed in canvas bags one by one to your home country, and you'll know what it is to fight Iraq. Well, whatever is said on the other, on the opposite side, if this comes true, the Americans do not want death. They want life. But we Christians are different. If you want to follow Jesus Christ, you must decide from the very beginning, I'm willing to die. Why? Because He did so much for me. And His death for us is out of love. Whereas today, death is out of compulsion. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a difference between two kinds of masters. The masters of the world, they only want you for your own gain. But our Lord loves us and willingly died for us for no other reason than that His Father loved us and He also loved us. Thank God, the ups and downs of Peter reflect our ups and downs. And Peter learned a wonderful lesson in the end, and he stood firm on the day of Pentecost. And then he was arrested. He answered those who arrested him. He should obey God rather than men. Let us pray. Almighty Heavenly Father, how wonderful it is to learn this lesson from the Apostle Peter. Help us to search our own hearts and lives, and especially in these last days, what our affections are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.